The following is a high-five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
I won! Yahoo!
Private, put down your phone. This is the army.
Sarge, High Five Casino is a social casino. It's on your phone. Goes wherever you go. I win free spins, cash, prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. I won again!
Platoon, present cell phone. High five!
High five!
Casino!
Casino!
Win at HighFiveCasino.com!
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
Really? No, really. Really? No, really.
Hello and welcome to Really No Really with Jason Alexander and Peter Tilden, who remind you that if you subscribe to our show, we could be the Mr. Beast of podcasts. And if you're asking, who is Mr. Beast? Well, we're here to tell you he is the number one person on YouTube, who's followed by over 400 million people. Today, you'll learn how he's mastered clickbait, cracked the YouTube algorithm, created a Hollywood-style studio system, sent millions of dollars to charity, and even created food products and a fast food chain, all at the tender age of 25. Really? No, really. We'll find out who this dynamo is and what makes him tick from Rolling Stone senior writer E.J. Dixon, who embedded herself with Mr. Beast in his compound in Greenville, North Carolina, to get some answers. Now here's Jason and Peter. No,
really. Mr. Beast, you forgive me, because I know he's a big, big star. Until you said, hey, we're going to do a show about Mr. Beast, I went,
you know what's great?
What?
May I break the wall, if there is a wall, by the way. Sometimes putting the show together is a bit of a challenge, because you're busy doing what you do, and the world is spinning over there, and you don't necessarily kind of check in on certain stuff. So I said to the folks who do the show with me, we're going to talk to someone who embedded themselves with Mr. Beast, and it's going to be fascinating because Mr. Beast is by far the biggest YouTuber in history by hundreds of millions.
Yeah.
He's a fascinating character. And I said, Jason is going to have no idea who Mr. Beast is.
You're absolutely right.
And there I was 100% right.
You're absolutely right. In fact, now, here's what's interesting. He's the number one YouTuber. When I go to my homepage at YouTube, shouldn't something that refers to Mr. Beast come up?
So YouTube, American online video sharing and social media platform, we know, owned by Google. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Was formed by the guys who started PayPal. But there were two stories
I didn't know.
Yeah,
YouTube was a PayPal offshoot?
These guys, three former employees of PayPal.
Really? No,
started it. Yeah, look at that.
Wow.
They collectively watch more than 1 billion hours of videos every day on YouTube. Okay, so what I didn't realize, because we had heard the story that YouTube was launched based on this dating service where they wanted to share info about women. Like
I thought that was Facebook.
Like Facebook. Well, I guess when you get 20-year-old guys together who know tech, that's usually where they go. But one of the guys said it was actually the Super Bowl halftime commercial where Janet Jackson's breast was briefly exposed.
Yeah.
People wanted to see that. How do you get that out? So that motivated them to do this.
Oh, Jesus.
Cut to selling.
We are. The humanity. I have no hope for humanity.
Right?
One of the biggest pieces of technology started because America went, you missed Janet Jackson's breast? Really?
YouTube has over 122 million active users daily. 1 billion hours of content is watched across the world. Every day, 1 billion hours worth of content.
I'm actually surprised to hear that that YouTube only has 122 million subscribers.
Active users? That's half of the population in the United States.
Yeah, but I'm thinking YouTube is global, isn't it?
It is global, but it's still a lot of people, 122 million users. Now, the top five.
Because I know like, I know younger people who, they don't own a TV, they don't have cable, they don't have streaming. They eventually, everything goes to YouTube, and that's where they watch it.
My son, who's 27, same age as your kid, 28, only watches stuff from YouTube. He doesn't watch whole shows. If a show is on the gram, he'll never watch a whole show.
Right.
He watches pieces of shows on YouTube.
I have seen every fight moment from Equalizer 3.
On,
I've never seen the movie.
But you saw
I have no
the
idea what the movie is. I got all the best moments.
The number five show on YouTube is Kids Diana Show, a YouTube channel run by Eva Diana, a 10-year-old German-Canadian girl. They explore new things, take on challenges, and share what they learn. That's number five.
Really? No, really? Why really, are no, we really? Working so hard? Why?
Sony Television Entertainment in India is number four. Coco Melon has 171 million subscribers.
Coco Melon. What's Coco Melon?
It's owned by a company in Britain called Moonbug Entertainment. It's that they make learning fun. They have songs and videos up.
Oh, it's like a Sesame Street.
Yeah, it's like a kid's thing, which
Coco
makes sense.
Melon, sure. Yeah.
And number two, Mr. Beast. Mr. Beast.
We're interviewing about the number two.
Well, he's the number. He's the first individual.
Oh, no,
the
you're
number
hedging.
One. The number
you're
one.
Hedging.
Because the number one's an Indian YouTube channel. It's a series of stuff. It's not a person. He's the biggest person on YouTube. And Mr. Beast currently has 236 million subscribers if you add all his channels together.
So he has more subscribers than people who are using YouTube, is what you're saying. 122 active users of YouTube.
He has more active users.
He has
subscribed.
Double it. He's doubled it.
And if you had all his channels.
I don't understand. That's a mathematical equation.
You'll ask
I don't
our
understand.
Guess. So,
there are five apples. You have 10. How is that even? You put that out on SAT, people's heads explode. The math doesn't add up.
His YouTube channel is over 2.
He's lying.
So.
I know the answer to it.
Go ahead, David. Oh, David Guggenheim,
go ahead.
Here he is.
Sorry, I was going to wait for this to.
No, just tell it. Don't be sorry.
Peter is correct. YouTube sees approximately 122 million users per day.
Per day.
But if you look at monthly active users, it's 2.7 billion around the world.
David, thank you for clarifying that. So what I've learned is Peter introduced
no,
it
I was
badly.
Correct. I was correct.
You introduced it badly.
For
you
somebody,
gave a false impression.
For somebody with limited,
really?
For somebody
no,
with
really?
Limited intelligence who barely got through college. Okay, so we reached out because we couldn't get, but Jason's so funny. He goes, we got Mr. Beast? I said, no.
Mr. Beast is doing our show?
I actually said, don't be an idiot.
You did. You said, don't be an idiot.
He's not. Even if he's the biggest Seinfeld fan in the world,
right, yeah.
He's not coming.
Yeah.
But we have EJ, I want to get this name right because I get every name wrong.
How can you get it wrong? It's EJ Dixon. What is it? It's not. This is remedial spelling. EJ. You didn't even have to read three names in the E and a J.
And a Dixon. Anyway, EJ is a writer with Rolling Stone. She's written a lot of other articles for a lot of other publications about tech, etc. She got to spend time with Mr. Beast, and we wanted to find out. Everybody wants to be an influencer. Everybody wants that to be the thing. The gig economy knows that's about that.
Sure.
What does it take to be Mr. Beast? And I got a bit of a sense of it. I know you do too. Let's find out right now. EJ Dixon, you spent time with him. First off, how do you get access?
Is he insulated? Do you have to like get through the layers to get to him?
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty much like, first of all, I just want to say this is like watching an old Jewish couple, like married couple.
By the way, give us a second. Oh, my
it's
gosh.
It's very Hamish. I'm enjoying it.
Oh, my
it a lot.
Gosh. And this is going to take our numbers right through the roof.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty much. So he was the cover of our first creators issue, which is an issue that we do every year that's specifically focused on like digital creators. And at that point, it was pretty much like reaching out to, you know, any other celebrity that we'd put on the cover. You know, he works with like a big PR firm. I think he still works with the same guy who represented Jimmy Kimmel, which sort of is a testament to just how big he is. I mean, there was a point like in the history of the digital creator space when YouTubers were sort of ghettoized or marginalized, and they were considered, you know, like different or other than like mainstream entertainers. But this guy, you know, has tremendous amount of like mainstream industry backing behind him at this point.
Does that include like, does he have an agent or a man? It's clear he must have somebody representing him legally, but does he have an agent and a manager creating opportunities for him or?
Yeah, he's got a huge team behind him. When I spoke to like one of his managers, he basically compared it to like the studio system that he's built in Greenville, North Carolina, where he's from. He compared it to like Tyler Perry in Atlanta. Like it truly is like a giant sprawling studio system where he's like one of the main income drivers for the town.
Is he sponsoring other influencers or other YouTubers as well? Is he sort of generating his own little herd of studio talent in this space?
Kind of. Yeah, it is. It is kind of like an old school Hollywood studio system in that way, because this is how all YouTube creators, you know, get big. You know, if they're doing it, they're just like fooling around with a bunch of friends, you know, asking them to be in their videos. But these guys who are his friends, like, not only do they live next door to him, like he's bought houses for them and they all live in this, you know, little cul-de-sac, but they've got like millions of subscribers each. These people have really built brands for themselves based on their proximity to Mr. Beast.
Are his proteges all doing some variation of exactly what he's doing? These sort of, for lack of a better word, stunt-oriented kind of videos? Or are they doing something completely different and unique?
They're definitely not all doing something completely different and unique. I would say, you know, there are budgetary restraints with their channels that right. like Mr. Beast, you know, obviously doesn't have, which we can talk about. I would say they're like pretty standard vloggers. You know, they do a lot of like slice of life stuff. A couple, you know, some stunts, but it's definitely not to the degree that of Mr. Beast's main channel.
So take us through your visit to his place. If people hadn't read the article, it sounded pretty intense.
Yeah, it was intense. I spent probably 2 or 3 days with him. They gave us a pretty unprecedented amount of access for the story, which was really nice. I got to see his house. I got to meet his mom. I got to see, you know, the studio where he produces content. And like I wrote about in the lead of the story, I got to see the warehouse. It's like a prop warehouse that his stepfather manages. And I got to see $1 million just like lying in a tank.
In ones, right? In $1 bills.
Yes. And I say it's a prop warehouse because, I mean, that's truly how they like use money in the videos. Like they use money as a prop.
Right.
It was pretty staggering to me.
So how much time did you have with him? Not just the family or walking around meeting other people. How much time did he actually give you FaceTime?
A lot, actually. A lot. More so than I would say other people that I've profiled. You know, we like went to lunch at a Mexican restaurant. We rode around in his Tesla, talked about life. You know, he was very generous with his time.
And your sense of him as a person, does he have a great sense of humor? Does he really, because he does philanthropy, does he really care? I just, a profile of who you got when you kind of peel away the layers, what's going on underneath? Have you got a sense of that?
You know, I was there to do my job. You know, I was there to perform a service, and I was asking him, you know, intrusive questions about his life and his brand, and asking him to sort of consider like various ethical questions that he probably did not want to consider.
We should also point out that he's a very successful young man, but he's like 25.
He's 25
right?
years old.
So, you know, it's not like he has moved through the earth and he is a man of the world.
Although he's figured a lot of stuff out.
Yes, he has. No, I mean, would you call him a savant, EJ?
I absolutely would. And that was my first impression of him was definitely that. Like, I think the first thing he said to me, which I wrote about in the piece, was, so are you going to start asking me questions now?
Right.
Like he is not, and he would be the first to say this. Like he is not a socially adept individual. Like There are a lot of people you meet like in the YouTube space who really love like, you know, the schmoozing aspect of it and, you know, getting to know people. He's not like that. What he loves and what he gets up out of bed every day in the morning to do, he loves YouTube. You know, like he could talk for hours about like the YouTube algorithm and how to game it and like various, you know, thumbnails and A/B testing them. Yeah, it was wild.
When I hear the YouTube algorithm, I go, what are we talking about? The YouTube algorithm.
And
so
now,
when we say he gets up and he studies the algorithm, I go, what is he? This is not Alan Turing. This is not the Enigma code. What is so hard about
it? Kind of is, though.
Like, go ahead. Why? Why?
Please inform me.
Wait, because, and I should say, like, I'm not a tech writer and like I'm a culture writer who sort of like focuses on the convergence of like culture and tech. So I don't. have like a ton of insight into like the mechanics of the algorithm. And frankly, like YouTube and other platforms aren't super transparent about them either. But I mean, it's a really tough thing to game, like getting YouTube views. It's especially considering how saturated the space is and how everybody's just kind of trying to do the same thing. And when he started out, he was doing a lot of like throwing stuff at the wall and seeing if it would stick too. I mean, he was doing a lot of like gaming walkthroughs, and he was doing a lot of videos like trying to estimate how much money various YouTubers make. Yeah. And that stuff wasn't really like sticking for him. And then he realized that it was the stunts, you know, the attention grabbing stunts. I think the first big video for him was him counting to like 100,000.
Yeah.
Ridiculous like that. That's what he realized, you know, really worked out for him. And basically, I mean, I would say he's basically done a variation of that with a more philanthropic bent.
We should say, yes. So we should say to people who don't know Mr. Beast, a lot of his stuff is philanthropic now. He got cataract surgery for 1,000 people. He's bought shoes for people in Africa. He does all of these stunts that involve, and I wrote down the various names that has been called: charity as spectacle, inspiration porn, stunt philanthropy.
Inspiration
because
porn.
Yeah, because he gets pushed back. Well, again, you're that big, you're going to get pushed back no matter what you're doing. The interesting thing is he defends that. Is that pure for him? Or is it about the getting the numbers again? I'll give out money to somebody and help cure somebody as long as I'm going to get the numbers.
You know, that was basically my guiding question when I went out there. Like, how much of this is, you know, is just purely for the purposes of getting clicks, of getting views, and how much of this is truly driven by altruism? That was what I was most interested in. And I was also interested in sort of the ethical question of, well, does it matter? You know, like if he's actually doing good, if he's actually, and he does, he undoubtedly, I mean, he's planted more than 20 million trees. He's, you know, donated $30 million+ to cleaning up the seas. He's fed countless people. I got to see his pantry in Greenville. I mean, he undoubtedly like does good, but there's also this question of like, well, does it matter if the intention is essentially to just like maximize eyeballs on your product? And that's a question that I was really interested in talking about with him. It was not, I think, a question that he was really eager to engage with.
So how did he answer it at all?
Right.
Did you get a sense of what his answer was?
Yeah, we talked about it a lot.
The following is a high five moment from highfivecasino.com.
I won! Yahoo!
Private, put down your phone. This is the army.
Sarge, High Five Casino is a social casino. It's on your phone. Goes wherever you go. I win free spins, cash, prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. I won again.
Platoon, present cell phone. High Five.
High Five.
Casino.
Casino.
Win at HighFiveCasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
Have you made the switch to Knix? Millions of women have made the switch to the revolutionary period underwear from Knix. That's K-N-I-X. Period panties from Knix are like no other, making them the number one leak-proof underwear brand in North America. They're comfy, stylish, and absorbent, perfect for period protection from your lightest to your heaviest days. They look, feel, and machine wash just like regular underwear, but feature incognito protection that has you covered. You can shop sizes from extra small to 4XL. Choose from all kinds of colors, prints, and different styles, from bikinis to boy shorts, thongs to high-rise. You've got to try Knix. See why millions are ditching disposable, wasteful period products and have switched to Knix. Go to knix.com and get 15% off with promo code TRY15. That's knix.com, promo code TRY15 for 15% off life-changing period underwear. That's knix.com.
Mm-hmm.
So how did he? So how
did he answer it at all? Right. Did you get a sense of what his answer was?
Yeah, we talked about it a lot. We talked about it a lot. I think that he is of the opinion that the motivation doesn't matter as long as you're actually doing good. And I think he also feels that he gets a lot of unmerited criticism in this regard, because the net effect is positive and, you know, not really debatably positive. It's, right. it's just like objectively positive. So mm-hmm. I think he got a little annoyed by those questions. And I think that he feels that intent is really immaterial.
Everything you read now is basically clickbait, because all these publications are trying to save their ass by putting out articles that you will read. This guy now is in this cycle of always having to up it and up it and up it, right? How does that bother? How do you do that? How do you do that if you're him, where you always have to beat the last thing and it may not work and it may start, you know, going the other way?
I don't think that he is. I did not get the sense that he's a guy who's particularly plagued by self-doubt.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he is. But that's certainly. I think that what gets him up in the morning is not so much, you know, is this going to be the day that I'm canceled, or is this going to be the day that, you know, the YouTube wakes up and decides to change its algorithm and completely screws me. I think he wakes up figuring out, like, how do I up the ante? How do I make this bigger? How do I make this better? I think he talked a lot about this. He was working with a life coach, and he's pretty obsessed with, like, the idea of a self-optimization. And he actually had, when I visited his studio, he had a portrait of Elon Musk dressed as Napoleon Bonaparte in his office. And I was like, oh, that's like really telling in terms of this guy's priorities. I think he is a guy who grew up in the age of self-optimization, of startups, of, you know, constantly remaking yourself, refashioning yourself in the image of who you want to be.
Is your takeaway that this is a good guy, or is he just a smart kid? Is he a Barnum? I mean, do you sit there and go, I think he does what he does because he's essentially a good person who's just trying to do something to entertain and make the world better? Or is he like a really savvy guy who goes, oh, I know how to make myself a success? And I wouldn't begrudge him if he was, because, again, as you say, if the net is positive, I'm not terribly concerned about the motivation. But in that Barnum sense of going, yeah, I'm gonna do these things, I know what it's gonna do. It's gonna make me a star. I mean, do you have any take on who the real guy is in that respect?
I'm gonna give you a really frustrating answer. I think it's a really good question, and I'm gonna give you a really frustrating answer. No, I don't know. I mean, from my own personal perspective, do I think that he's doing a ton of good in the short term and his motivation doesn't really matter? Absolutely. Do I think that the ecosystem that he's helping to create and contribute to is going to be helpful to humanity in the long term? Probably not. But I could say that of a lot of YouTubers, you know. It's I don't think he's, you know, singularly guilty of that, of contributing to this environment where more is more, and, you know, right. let's reward, you know, altruism with clicks and eyeballs, like. But I don't know if I can speak to his intent so much as I can speak to his impact.
So why it seems to me he's got more resources because he's got more money, but why is what he's doing breaking through in a way that other people doing similar versions of the same thing are not? What's the magic that he's got? I mean, there's a lot of people out there doing stunts.
And again, if we may say, so for people, again, who don't know, he's done stuff, like I said, the charitable stuff. But he also dug a giant hole, bought a train, and drove the train into the giant hole, which has nothing to do with philanthropy.
I saw the one where he tried to live in isolation for 7 days in a room. You know, and then he put himself going nuts.
A Lamborghini in the world's largest shredder.
Yeah.
Buried alive.
So
yeah.
So he's got bigger versions of stuff that other people are trying to do. Why is there something about him that you think just fascinates us in a way that other YouTubers
haven't? No,
is he the star? Is he the star of the channel?
I don't think that he's the star of the channel. I think that the success of his channel is predicated on a number of things, some of which are more quantifiable than others. Like, I think he really learned how to use, how to game the YouTube algorithm. I think, you know, setting his headquarters in an inexpensive, you know, southeastern town and really like building a brand there and really using, because he like, he goes into stores, like local stores, and he, and everybody knows who he is. Everybody, I talked to so many people in the town who are like, just waiting for the day that he's going to come and like tip them, you know, $10,000 for a video. Like using his hometown as like a resource for content. I think that was a brilliant move on his part. So I think there are some quantifiable factors that have contributed to his enormous success. But I think that it's him as a brand, like as a charismatic front person that is so appealing to people? No, not really. And like, I think he would probably say the same. I think he considers himself rather unremarkable, except in terms of his, you know, mental acuity in terms of the digital space.
It's really interesting. These two guys were interviewing him. They have their own show, I guess. They're in Colin and Samir. You know,
yeah. Colin, so Samir, okay. Yeah, yeah.
And the one thing they asked him that caught me was they said, because he's launched this Feastable, this chocolate company that has all these different chocolate bars. They said, that's going really well. Do you see yourself as just a distribution company for your chocolate? And he laughed and went, well, kind of, which took me to, wow, he's got 400 million people. He launches a food. He can feed it to that audience continuously and make it a thing.
I think that's his goal with everything he does. With absolutely everything he does. And I think he takes it very personally when it doesn't work out that way. This happened after I interviewed him, but he's actually in litigation with Mr. Beast, the distribution company that he partnered with Mr. Beast Burger, which was his fast food chain. And it expanded to like 300 locations, like across the country, just like huge explosive growth. And he started tweeting about how like he had severed their relationship with them because they had focused on growth over quality. And actually, I do remember this wasn't in the article, but I do remember I had tried a Mr. Beast burger prior to going out there. And he was like genuinely curious as to what my experience was. And I was like, you know, it wasn't a great experience. Like it wasn't a great burger. And he really took it to heart. And I think that's really like his approach to everything, like to all of his revenue streams, because he has a ton of revenue streams. I think he's a perfectionist. He just wants everything to be the biggest and the best. Like, I think he wants to be Oprah, basically. Like, I don't think he would say I wants to be Oprah. I think he would say he wants to be Elon, but I think he wants to be Oprah.
And also to that point, it's funny that Mr. Beast had posted, and I wrote it down, but one of his charity things, subscribe if you don't hate charity. Is one of the messages there. Like, in other words, I'm guilting you.
Right, sure.
Which I guess he figured out through, he calls it 10,000 days instead of 10,000 hours, 10,000 days of figuring out this algorithm. And I noticed that it's not that he was cocky about it, but they asked him, could you think you could show somebody else how to increase their appeal? And he said, oh yeah, I could show somebody how to get a couple million downloads immediately, because I know what the formulas are and I mentor people and do that. But he said it so assuredly that he figured out the system so easily by this point that he knows what works and what doesn't.
Why shouldn't he be cocky? He started doing it at 14.
It is amazing. And to me, and I don't know, because you're of a different generation, I watched a lot of Mr. Beast stuff, and I know I'm not the demographic. But you watch a train go into a hole, and you don't feel, there's nothing that you feel, there's no takeaway. You come away from that and you go, I learned something. I felt something. I'm passionate about something. It's just watching an accident, watching stunts, watching whatever. And that to me is kind of fascinating, that people spend that kind of time being attracted to watching that and seeing what he's going to do.
Peter, but listen, he's brilliant. Again, I go back to that. What code did he crack? Do you know one of the biggest things on YouTube is fail army? People screwing things up in their lives and go, oh, I'm sending that to fail army. And every week, fails of the
but
week.
But that at least makes me feel better about
like
myself.
A schmuck sit there and go, wow. And I'm laughing and I'm like, ooh, I'm having my experience. There's nothing in it that is redeeming. There's nothing that is, as you say, left on the
stage. But you feel better about yourself.
No, I don't. In fact, I feel worse about myself for going, why do I enjoy this? Why does this make me giggle?
Do you get a sense of that, though, that when you watch them, do you come away going, got to see the next thing?
No, but I'm not the target audience either.
Who's the target audience? Yeah.
Kids. He has a huge percentage of his demographic is kids.
When you say kids, what age?
Like probably eight. I mean, this is not, you know, he didn't cite this to me, but so don't like.
We won't quote you.
don't ask legal about this. But something like kids 8 to 12 or something.
Wait. They're supposed to be on TikTok. Don't they get that memo? TikTok is for that demographic. Don't they know what demographic where they're supposed to be going?
If you meet a kid 8 to 14 years old, I guarantee you they will know who Mr. Beast is.
We are trying to appeal to the wrong demographic.
We get to talk to 8-year-old. I don't know how to do that.
How you do a show for an 8-year-old?
Hmm.
We do Mr. Rogers. We become Mr. Rogers.
Or you put on a clown outfit. I don't know if you're going to go for that, but I think that do kids like clowns? By the way, what other? If you don't know this, what other thing appeals to that same demographic that we would be shocked about?
That's so funny that you asked this, because literally while you guys were talking, I was thinking, do these guys know about Skibbity Toilet? Like, should I explain?
I'm sorry,
Skibbity Toilet.
What? Yeah. Say what?
Happy to explain Skibbity Toilet.
Let's hear it.
Skibbity Toilet. Yep. Is also a hugely popular YouTube thing. I think some Russian guy, like some 19-year-old Russian guy, made it up. It's essentially a series of very short clips that tell the story of a war between robots and humanoid toilets.
How many regular? Hundreds of millions.
Hundreds of videos, yeah.
How many subscribers
would you say?
Here we go.
I don't know off the top of my head for that one guy, but
Googleheim, look up. How do you spell Skibbity? Skibbity.
All I know is my head is about to spin around like Linda Blair.
All I know is we're putting a toilet in the studio. That's what I know.
You guys should watch them. You guys should really watch them.
Thank you for that. And thank you for that. Thank you for
really. Should we
really?
Should we add to the numbers that are being logged on Skibbity Toilet?
Laurie, from now on, Jason shares a toilet. We'll figure it out from there.
Oh my God!
Well, thank you. Thank you.
By the way,
forget Mr. Beast. You just earned it with Skibbity Toilet. Wow.
Oh my God.
I gotta say, I'm very proud of myself for having introduced Skibbity Toilet to an original cast member of Merrily We Roll Along.
There, bingo. Like,
oh, wow. Thank you very much for that.
The theater kid in me is like freaking out about that.
Oh, that is so sweet. I'm actually very flattered by that.
Thank you for coming on.
And by the way, maybe this might be fun. I texted you both a picture of the Skibbity Toilet before she leaves. And my kids love Skibbity Toilet, by the way.
Really? I gotta watch it. Oh, there it is. Oh my God. Yeah, oh my God.
It's frightening.
You guys are gonna be really depressed.
I'm scared. I'm seeing a head come out of a toilet.
I'm never using a toilet.
Wow. Wow.
I used to be worried that a rat would crawl up. That would be a heaven.
Thank you.
Bye, EJ. Thank you.
This is worth it for Skibbity Toilet. Yeah, oh my God.
Thank you so much, guys. This was so fun. You guys have like the best dynamic I've ever seen from podcasters.
High Five Casino is a social casino with real prizes and big Vegas hits at highfivecasino.com. The hottest games right from Vegas, and all winnings go straight to your bank account. Hundreds of exclusive games, free daily rewards, and come back to get free coins every 4 hours. Only at highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details at high5casino.com.
High Five Casino.
Have you made the switch to Knix? Millions of women have made the switch to the revolutionary period underwear from Knix. That's K-N-I-X. Period panties from Knix are like no other, making them the number one leak-proof underwear brand in North America. They're comfy, stylish, and absorbent, perfect for period protection from your lightest to your heaviest days. They look, feel, and machine wash just like regular underwear, but feature Incognito protection that has you covered. You can shop sizes from extra small to 4XL. Choose from all kinds of colors, prints, and different styles, from bikinis to boy shorts, thongs to high-rise. You've got to try NYX. See why millions are ditching disposable, wasteful period products and have switched to NYX. Go to knix.com and get 15% off with promo code TRY15. That's knix.com, promo code TRY15 for 15% off life-changing period underwear. That's KNIX.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
I'm now looking because our producer David Guggenheim sent us a picture of what Skibbity Toilet is. This is a man who looks like a serial child killer
coming up through a toilet.
I used to be scared when we heard about the rat guy with the rats coming up. Now I would welcome a rat in my toilet.
You know what's scary for me? Because I know how I function.
Wow.
I'll be watching hours of this tonight. I'll be going down.
Are you
going
to go watch it tonight?
That rabbit hole or the toilet hole, whatever that is. Yes, I am. Because I have to know about it. Don't you like when you find out about something that you knew nothing about culturally that exists and billions of people know
about? No, it actually scares me. It scares me on two levels. One, it scares me that there's something that's big and out there that I don't know. Oof. It feels like I'm being left out again at school and camp. That's number one. And then when I find out what it is they're excited about, I go, I can't live on this planet anymore.
Before we do, David, and David, thank you. Here we go to find out additional information. I just think, you know, we should piggyback off of Mr. Beast's success and do something like call ourselves Mr. Beast Lee. I know it sounds like a butler from the 1960s.
Well, here's what we need to factor in. His stunts now are like $1 million stunts. We don't have access to that kind of coin because I'm certainly not
invested. I got the hook.
Yeah, right.
So we recreate his stunts.
Yeah.
But our hook is watch us create the stunts for under $100.
I like
it. Isn't that right?
That's a good premise.
People may watch
and
that.
And we can be Mr. Least.
Mr. Least.
We
spend no money.
The least amount of money.
We will take on, we will do Squid Games.
Mr. Least. Squid Games, yes.
No problem, $100.
Right.
Get 400 people to do Squid Games for under $100.
Yeah.
David, will you start working on it?
So we cater with Subway.
Well, that eats
that's
up
an $80, you know, 6 foot
we got
long.
$20.
We cut it really thin, thin slices.
We're going to give you a house. It's a house that's been flooded.
Yeah, if I'm Mr. Least, who are you on the show?
I don't know. Who should I be?
My sidekick, Dollar Bill.
Dollar Bill. And we can get dollar stores. I think, doesn't that sound like a
good
hook?
We get Subway and 99 cent stores to sponsor the show.
We get huge numbers,
man. We're huge.
We get our kids to start digging the hole in your backyard.
Yeah, here's our first stunt. Take your underwear off over your head. Okay, let's see. Let's see. 465 people do that. The winner gets $100. Take your underwear off over your head.
Here's another thing. We could be the guys that pull the train out of the hole.
Out of the hole. Right. Put the train back on the track.
All right, what do you got?
Well, I'm looking forward to burying Jason underground and just like, here's a straw, man.
If you do it, the numbers would go through the roof, man. Oh, my God.
Yeah,
through the roof.
Yeah. And we have a toy train set.
Did he do that? Did he do that? He got buried underground and had a straw to breathe through?
Yeah, he was buried alive. Yeah, he was buried
alive.
How
long was he under there?
I think like a day or something.
What a maroon.
How long could you last, do you think?
Buried underground?
Because I don't have the box built now.
Was he in a box or was it dirt on him?
For you, I'll do it differently. CGI into a, what's it called? The CAT scan.
Yeah, right?
As I recall, it was somewhat comfortable, but coffin-esque.
He's Mr. Beast. He's not going to
come on. David Blaine did that. He did that for days.
Everybody's making money doing that.
What are we doing?
Oh, it was a week.
Wrong?
Lori tells me it was a week he was buried.
A week.
Oh, wow. All right, that's a different
one. I don't want to go right to it, but how do you release the beast?
What's the charity component of that? Who's he helping with that?
Yeah, right. Yeah. I'm going to get buried for 7 days for Cohen's caskets.
We should start small with illnesses that are almost like leprosy. Stuff that's manageable already. and see if we can eradicate it. Like
shingles.
Something that's almost on the way. No, that's still present. Oh. Something that's almost on the way out.
Almost on the way, out.
And we just put the final touches.
Yeah,
on.
Right? Occipital headaches.
What would it be?
It's our charity. It's almost on the way
our
out.
Our charity is help get rid of occipital headaches. Do you not care about charity, David? Go ahead.
Tell us more.
Yeah, well, a couple things, Gibbity toilet, just to lock that down.
Oh, my God.
Or put the, close the lid on it.
Yeah.
has 38.7 million subscribers, so
Kill
Gibbity is
me
doing well.
Now.
We are getting a toilet.
Kill me now.
We are getting a toilet.
Yeah. A guy whose head comes out of a toilet is getting 38 million hits per episode. Yeah.
Don't judge Gibbity until
and
you watch it.
How do you, like, create a season arc on a guy whose head is in the toilet?
I have a feeling that every week our next episode is about a question asked in the last episode. Like, really, no, really? Skibbity toilet. It's our next episode. Okay.
The brainiac behind that. And also, to answer, where did Mr. Beast come from? The name was actually auto-generated by his Xbox as Mr. Beast 6000.
Oh.
And apparently liked it. I guess it worked for him at Halo. And there we go. That's how we have
it. All right.
But here's the thing. Since you guys are clearly ignorant of what's going on on the
thank
internet.
Thank you for putting it sensitively.
I have a question for you.
Okay.
Who is the top person in all social media? Okay, so you have a selection here and you have to pick the top person across YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, the whole thing. A, Selena Gomez.
No.
B, Justin Bieber.
No.
C, Taylor Swift.
Yes.
D, Cristiano Ronaldo. Or E, Kanabe Lame.
Got to be Kanabe Lame. I have no idea who it is, but you wouldn't just throw that in.
I'm going to go with Taylor Swift. I'm a Swiftie.
So Jason is C, Taylor Swift. And Peter, you are going for E, Kanabe Lame.
Yeah.
You are both incorrect. It is D, Cristiano Ronaldo, with 897 million followers across all social media platforms.
May I add, may I share with whatever part of the world listens to our show my further ignorance and ask you,
Wait a minute, do you really don't know who that is? Is the athlete?
Is he a soccer player?
He's a big soccer player. He's the guy.
He is a Portuguese professional soccer player who is the captain of the Saudi Pro League club.
Do you have the right there? How much he signed for? What his contract is?
I do not
it's
have.
It's like
no.
a gazillion. It's more. Money. It's more money than Mr. Beast
Let
has.
Let me ask you this. Maybe you know, or maybe you can speculate. Why do I want to follow Cristiano Ronaldo more than I want to follow Taylor Swift or Selena Gomez? Why?
Because it's the biggest sport, it's like the biggest sport in the world, and it's got billions of followers, and you want to see what he's doing, what he's buying, what he's eating, where he's going.
Do I?
Not you. Not you. You didn't know Mr. Beast.
So he didn't get me. I'm the holdout. Let him come after me.
You didn't
me.
Know Ronaldo? You didn't know Mr. Beast?
You know
you
what?
Didn't know the toilet guy?
Ronaldo, if you're out there listening, let me tell you what it's going to take to get me to be a follower. First of all, you have to come to our show.
That's happening.
Wow.
Yeah, he's the guy. I feel just like Mr. Beast. We made people's lives better today.
Did we?
Not really.
No.
Not at all.
Thanks, everybody.
Really? No, really. Really? No, really.
As another episode of Really No Really comes to a close, I know you're dying to know some crazy YouTube statistics, and I'll be happy to share them with you right after I thank our guest, EJ Dixon. You can follow her on Instagram and X at EJ Dixon, and of course her work can be found on RollingStone.com. Find all pertinent links in our show notes. Our little show hangs out on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and Threads at Really No Really Podcast. And of course, you can share your thoughts and feedback with us online at reallynoreally.com. If you have a really, some amazing fact or story that boggles your mind, share it with us, and if we use it, we will send you a little gift. Nothing life-changing, obviously, but it's the thought that counts. Check out our full episodes on YouTube, hit that subscribe button, and tick that bell so you're updated when we release new videos and episodes, which we do each Tuesday. So listen and follow us on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. And now some mind-blowing stats about YouTube. Every minute of every day, almost 700,000 hours of video gets broadcast on YouTube. That's driven by the more than 500 hours of videos posted to YouTube every minute. There are 15 billion daily views of YouTube Shorts viewed by its 2.49 billion users, who combined are watching more than 1 billion hours of video each day. And the most viewed YouTube video of all time is Pinkfong's Baby Shark Dance, with just shy of 14 billion views. And not to brag or anything, but our podcast, Really No Really, currently has 6,000 YouTube subscribers. So watch out, Pinkfong, move over, Mr. Beast. Jason and Peter are riding your ass. Really No Really is a production of iHeartRadio and Blase Entertainment.
The following is a high five moment from highfivecasino.com.
Welcome to Burger Yippee. Would you like a hot apple pie today?
Yes, yes, yeah, I won! Woohoo!
So that's a yes on the apple pie?
I just went big time playing High Five Casino on my phone. Real cash prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. Yeah.
So yes or no on the apple pie?
Woo! I won again!
I'll take that as a yes. Drive around.
Have you had your high five moment today? Only at highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.